Hello again and welcome to another episode of our podcast, Everyone Has a Story. This is the podcast that complements our two quarterly lifestyle magazines. Hello Sunshine Magazine and In Noosa Magazine. Our winter issues are available right now. And if you'd like to be part of our spring issues, reach out to our customer service team. We're on Facebook and we're on Instagram. That's Hello Sunshine Magazine and In Noosa Magazine. All right, on with today's episode. The Comiskey Group is a family-owned hospitality, entertainment and construction company founded by Paul Comiskey more than 50 years ago. Rob is one of two brothers who help run the business with his dad, and the group recently opened the doors on the Doonan, a site they purchased 15 years ago. I was interested in learning why and how some people see opportunity in a venture when others don't. The Comiskey Group has done that with several projects, and as you'll hear in this episode, sometimes without a plan B. Everyone has a story, and today I'd like you to meet Rob Comiskey. We started the conversation talking about the Doonan on Beddington Road in Doonan. How's that going, by the way? We had lunch there a couple of Fridays ago, and so busy that cars are spilled out onto the road there, and it's like that every bloody day. You must be happy with that.
Yeah, look, that project started 15 years ago, so it's one of our probably longest running projects, but, you know, and near the end, I was kind of sitting there saying to myself, have we done the right thing here? You know, because myself and my brother came up with a concept years ago to do that and make it more, not, you know, everyone refers to it. Yes, it has a pub license, but if you went there, you'd probably, apart from the bottle shop, you wouldn't consider that a pub. So we just, the whole idea was, you know, it could be a nursery, it could be a garden centre more than it could be a hotel.
Yeah. Can you tell, because we lived at Doonan for 10 years just off Viewland Drive, and you just said that you've had the site for 15 years. What took so long to develop that area? Because I remember that, what would you call it, like an old German beer barn? Or how would you describe the original building that's on that site?
When we bought it was a German restaurant that, yeah. I don't know, whether it was trading successfully or not, but it was a German restaurant, had a kind of a dirt car park. And when we bought it, we just thought, well, we knew we wanted to put a hotel in that area. There's not really covered. I mean, there's one or two in Umundi, one in Karoi, one, you know, back in Noosa, but kind of a hole in that area. So what we did was we decided that we would, have a go at building a hotel there. We went to council. It didn't work. Brenna said that it didn't, they weren't in favour of it. So we kind of decided that rather than go to court, we pulled out of that application. And then we went again and had other meetings with them. Each concept we came up with, they were not in favour of. And then about 2 years ago now, two and a half years ago would have been, some friends of mine were talking about, we were about to put an application. And again, this time we know this thing would be successful there. We know it will be a good concept. We believed in the concept. So we just went, no matter whether they approve this or not, it's going to court and we'll force it through. And that's pretty much exactly what happened. Council took a negative stance on it pretty much from day one, even though they said they liked the concept. They said they had concerns regarding flooding and so forth. And when you have a look at it, a licensed restaurant and a hotel, we didn't propose any gaming or a big sports bar or anything like that. They're very similar in nature, so we didn't understand why council was negative towards it. So all we did was focus on the concept, try to make it cool, use that reuse and that existing building and try and make that a focal of the development as well, and kind of rough the side of that. And that's what we did. And when we went to court, that's exactly what the judge saw in us. He just went, well, what are you going to do if you don't do this? You know, it's a great idea to redevelop and reuse the existing premises and try and make it into something that's an asset rather than an eyesore.
And can I ask which council? Because I'm not sure whether the border, because I know when we lived at Doonan, we were in the Sunshine Coast Council. Was that Noosa Council you were dealing with?
Yeah, no, it's Sunshine Coast Council.
Yeah.
Everyone thinks it's in but it's actually Sunshine Coast.
Well, I think the border runs down Beddington Road. I could be wrong, but I think if you're on that...
Yeah, it's not very far from there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very close. So that's why everyone gets confused.
I want to pick your brain and your brother and your family. I mean, you guys have a history of development, starting with your dad way back in the 70s. But I want to find out how you assess a site and how you end up the one at, well, it's not in Bribie, is it the Sandstone Point?
Yeah, Sandstone Point Hotel, yeah.
Sandstone, that's right. That's Sandstone Point Hotel and Eaton's Hill. These venues, and I hear people talk about these two venues very favorably. It's their, you know, favorite it becomes a destinational location. I know you have live bands at both of these venues. And because really, geographically, they're not really situated in heavily kind of densely populated areas. What is the thought process when you have some land like that? What are you thinking? What are you imagining concept-wise that will go there, that will become a destination for future customers for that venue? Like, what's the process, Rob?
Everyone's a little bit different. In saying that, you know, where we probably get it, my brother get it from, is our parents are very entrepreneurial. Like, they probably own 15 to 20 businesses. No, I'm going to say more than that. It'd be more like 30 businesses at least in their years. And so we got that as a very young age. And then, you know, when we amalgamated together, we all had our own businesses and we all did different things and all successful, but we had a CFO who kind of joined us together and said, together you're much stronger than you are individually. And that, looking back at it, then he was the catalyst to form what is Comiskey Group today. So in saying that, from then we joined together, we did 37 childcares and we did, yeah, a lot of different businesses. And then when we opened up, we kind of bought a property at Eden's Hill. That came around was really, it's identifying good property in great positions that each one's totally different. When you talked about Eden's Hill versus Sandstone versus Dune. And then the stuff we're doing up at Cooch and Creek and Dacquin Hotel, Strapon Hotel, they're all very different. And what we do is, myself and David are very, we're full of ideas. We love throwing ideas at each other. So we'll send each other photos off Pinterest at, you know, 2 a.m. on a Wednesday night, you know, just coming up with different ideas. And some of them are stupid ideas. You'll just sit there and go, look back and go, yeah, what were we thinking? But then some of them will be, hang on a second, we'll let them mellow in and we go, okay, hang on a second. Yeah, no, that's cool idea. You know, so we're doing hotels now in the future, which are currently getting approvals and planning and we're designing, that have got eight lanes of bowling, full bowling alleys inside them, full arcades, yeah, sports bars with, you know, double level LED screens and all that. So it's identifying the site and then working out a concept to run with that site. And Eden's Hill was, it's the biggest hotel in Australia. So it's 7,500 square meters internally. It's a big beast, extremely hard to run in that fact alone. It's got 200 and something staff members, if not that, probably 250 staff members. It's got the accommodation tower next door, which is 90 rooms hotel, 4.5-star. So it's a big beast. It's like running five businesses in one. So each week we have management meetings. We'll run section by section through those management meetings and working out how we can drive sales on the top line. And then the concept with it was from the start was like, well, you know, what are we doing here? It's a big hotel. And then it was live music. And everyone said that wouldn't work. And to tell you the truth, I had my doubts as well in some parts, but that was about the case of, you know, there's a thing called, everyone says too big to fail. Well, that's not true. You can be too big to fail. That's for that, we just had to force it. We had to put some money on the line. You know, we went out and bought Jimmy Barnes and put him there first time. We went out and bought Pete Murray. We went out and bought multiple acts in the first year, put some real money on the line and took some risk. And it worked. And then people got, you know, they got a bit of confidence out of that. And then it rolled from there. And then now we've had Post Malone and Prince and you name it, some of the biggest acts in the world have played there. So, yeah, it's amazing. But then going out to Sandstone's a different animal. Myself and my dad were flying over in a helicopter. And I was flying and my dad was sitting next to me. And he said to me, I still remember it to this day, like it was clear as anything. He said to me, that's the best property in Australia. And I said, yeah, that's fine, but they'll never sell it. Well, he doesn't take no for an answer. So he went back and wrote an email or a letter to them. and they didn't even respond. And then literally 2 years later, he walks in my office and he saw it in Rural Life or something, one of those magazines.
Yeah.
And he put in one of those, and it was in one of those, and we started negotiating. 2 years later, we ended up buying it. So.
But this is what, I mean, you talked about your dad spotted that and he said, you know, that's the best property in Australia. Because a layman like myself, I would drive past that barn there, you know, that you've now turned into the Doonan. And sure, other people do the same and go, yeah, I know, something out here would never work. But you and your brother would look at it. And like I said, you know, earlier, you drive past it now on any day of the week at any time, and there's cars out on the road. I'm interested in how you identify, like, what is it? And I know you there's a lot of, I guess it's that creative process. You said you and your brother trading photos on Pinterest. How do you settle on that idea? Like, what's the process that makes you guys look at something and go, no, do you know what? That'll work if we do this. Whereas 99% of other people can drive past a site and go, oh, look, there's nothing out here. No, that'll never work.
Yeah, I think it's looking at up there. We always thought the Doonan was going to be a very family-orientated venue. And so with that, you know, it's 2 hectares. It's got a lot of grass at the back. You know, it's somewhere if you come there, I've got young kids, so kind of sit in there and so my brother as well. But, you know, you're sitting there and you're having something to eat and kids are kicking the football out the back, and it's just a very relaxed environment. And up there we saw a lack of that. So then, Paul, we went, okay, there's that. Then we went to, as I said, one of the influences of this is probably the Grounds of Alexandria in Sydney, which is very famous down in Sydney. Farm at Byron Bay, not so much. It's more of a farm than that. But then sandstone a bit as well, you know, that relaxed environment. And so that's how we come up with the concept. And when we did that, the biggest thing I think we do is when we go in on a concept, we go in on a concept. We don't mess around. There's thousands of pots in that thing. We imported 2 containers from Vietnam for pots. So, you know, and then plants. And we've got 2 full-time gardeners plus a groundsman. So on just the hotel, that's unusual, very unheard of. But, you know, so yeah, it was just the concept, seeing it all the way through, making sure you're always true to the concept. And we always challenge each other. We've got very robust conversations in our family. You know, we don't mind calling each other out on a bit of BS. So we'll, if, you know, I come in with an idea and it's stupid, I'll get called stupid.
Yeah.
No doubt about that. It won't be a, yes, you know, it's a brilliant idea. And David comes up with the ideas and my dad comes up with the ideas and sometimes our wives or whatever, you know. So it really, they come in from all our side. We're very a creative family and you've got to be passionate about it as well. We're very passionate about hotels. Everyone kind of thought, you know, everyone used to treat us like we're developers that just did a little bit of hotels. No, we're very passionate about hotels. We were always coming up with new ideas and what we can do in a hotel and how it can be treated differently. And we'll travel around Australia, we'll go overseas. Myself and David are going to want to go to Turkey in the moment, look at a couple of resorts in Turkey. I'm going to have a look at a resort in Paris, of all places, in September. So, you know, that's about, we've got a couple more resorts coming up. How do we do them differently to Sandstone? I mean, Sandstone Holiday Resort is number one big 4 in Australia regarding occupancy, and also it's probably one of the most expensive as well. So we treated that like a 5-star resort. Yeah. So, you know, people go, how'd you come up with that one? Well, we were treated to Carrion Park and we said, what is a Carrion Park? And then we looked at it and we went, how do we make a Carrion Park a 5-star resort experience while you're still staying at Carrion?
Yeah.
And that's how we treated it and it worked. I mean, it's got the highest occupancy. So.
Yeah. I want to go back and just explore your heritage and your roots a little bit and then, you know, talk about your dad starting, you know, the business back in the 70s. But the name Comiskey, what's the heritage or the background to that, Rob?
It's Irish.
No, it's not.
It's Irish.
Is it really?
So people think it's Polish or something like that, or Czechoslovakian. and I get a lot of people, you know, say that, especially when they're attacking me online or something.
Yeah.
But no, it's actually Irish. So, and some of our history of family back in Ireland and hotels and so forth. So, yeah, that's kind of a background of us. And then obviously Dad's grandparents or something come over here and then Dad's parents went up to in Emerald, and they were on Campbell Farm. So that's when my dad still has a real passion for farms. So he's got a couple of small ones and stuff like that. But they went up in Emerald, and my dad grew up there till he was in his early 20s. And then he came down to Brisbane and was working in the public servant. And just to go show you how hardworking they were work. My parents would work 7 days and work 7 days for years and actually work two jobs at the same time while they were running their own businesses. And they did that. They came out to Strathpine, of all places, and Dad said he liked Strathpine because at the time it was emerging, it's fast growing. So he built a squash centre there.
Yeah.
And it was only, I think, something like 6 courts. And then by the end, you know, in 5 years later, it's the largest squasher in Australia. And then he added on indoor cricket to it. And then he, when squash went out of fad, you know, it died in probably the 80s, he knocked it down and built a part of a shopping centre. And the reason we're, my brother and my dad and me are all builders, so we all have builder's licences. I've got an architecture degree, my brother's got an engineering degree. So we've got that background. But the only reason he became a builder is every time we'd go to do a development or an extension to, you know, any of his buildings, the builder would go broke and he'd end up having to finish it himself. So someone, one of his mates, said, why don't you go and get your builder's license? We did that. So,
yeah.
And then, you know, there they went on to, my dad would do any business. He did, in 1988, when the Expo 88 was on, him and mum decided to build a, now at that stage, overseas loans had blown out and they were not in a good financial state. So they basically rolled the dice one more time and put in an indoor skateboard park. With ramps and all this. Now, back then, that was the last dollar they had. They literally sold their cars, everything. We lived in a not so pleasant house, not too far from where it was. And they rolled the dice one last time, and it ended up coming up on something that you would never expect to be successful. Got really successful, and they ended up selling that business a couple of years later, and then traded their way out through to, you know, they could get some overseas loans that, as I said, blew out and end up with a lot of debt very quickly, which wasn't good financial. And then they went, and basically we were driving around. I think my mum went out and bought a Daihatsu, $1,000 car from an auction, and we were driving around that for about 3 or 4 years until we could work our way out of it. So, they sold everything they had to do it. So they're big risk takers. So that's probably where me and my brother get our entrepreneurial risk side taking from.
And where did that, you mentioned that your mum and dad, you worked 7 days a week, two jobs. Where did that drive come from? And then I want to ask you, like, he obviously must have had a purpose, you know, a reason. Everyone needs a reason, a purpose to get out of bed every morning. And then I want to ask you what you know, having accomplished what you've accomplished, what your purpose and reason is. But what, let's start with your parents. What do you think drove them so hard? Was it a lesson or something that they saw their parents do?
I don't know. I think obviously my grandparents, they grew up on farms, so very hardworking in that frame. I don't know. My dad has been always extremely driven, and that's where probably me and my brother got it from. So we all work ridiculous hours, but you know, my mum as well was extremely hardworking back then when she was working full time. So yeah, I think. I don't know. Dad was just always, he loved getting things done and doing things and trying new things and looking at different, you know, he'd go out and he went out and built units, and then he started in small shopping centres and then bigger shopping centres. And then it was my idea. I think I said we should build a pub in one of our shopping centres. And we did that, and we ended up building three pubs, and then we sold those pubs. And because I said, well, those pubs are too hard to run. So we were never scared of really opening a business, having a go at it. But then we worked out that if you're going to be in a business, you know, we were in childcare, as I said, we were in shopping centres, we're still in our own shopping centres. We own a few Coles and Woolworths shopping centres, and we're the landlords, and we'll build them all the way through to I'll lease them. And then we fit them out and everything ourselves. So we do the full gamut for everything from we'll go out and identify a site all the way through to get the finished product. So, you know, it's just been, I think he's driven, I don't know, money is, everyone thinks we're driven by money. I don't think that's the case anymore. I think that's kind of, yes, money needs to be in it. 100%, that's part of life. But I mean, myself, Dave, and Dad, we always say now, if we're going to buy anything, we could go and buy shopping centers. We could do a million, you know, service stations and drive-throughs. we're not really doing that because we just don't see the passion in it. We'll do them as part of a bigger development, but only if we can do something really cool. And that's where we're going to, we, you know, design resorts. We're going, what can we add into these resorts that can be something, a really cool experience for a family to come there and be different to the last one we did, not just a cookie cutter. We, same as our hotels, you know, we'll probably end up with about 10 hotels that with currently what we've got in hand. And with that, each will be a totally different animal. It will be a total different reality to it when you walk in the door, to when what you eat, to when you leave.
Yeah, and I can hear that passion in your voice in terms of, you know, just the travel that you're doing as well, and in terms of exploring new ideas and traveling the world and bringing ideas back. You mentioned earlier that your parents were risk takers, and a common thread with a couple of these when I talk to people like you, and I think the last time I saw you was at one of Tony Kelly's latest ventures, which was RB's. And Tony's a risk taker as well. When you look at these projects, how do you mitigate the risk, or is it just kind of all in and let's see what the fallout is? But there must be some process in terms of guarding yourself and guarding the business in terms of taking a risk but not taking too big a risk. Or what's the kind of conversation or process involved there, Rob?
You got to know, and saying that, my advice is the worst advice ever. You know, we went all in on Eden Sill. If Eden Sill didn't work, we would have been in all sorts of trouble. Like, we threw... back then, I forget what it was, 35 million plus back then. That was 15 years ago. That was unheard of. And every man, his dog said, that's got to fail. It's too big. Mm. And it went through, you know, when we opened that, it was 3.5 hour waits to get in, you know, in the nightclub.
Yeah.
And that went on for a year.
But you didn't
that's fine.
You didn't have a plan B.
No, we didn't have a plan B with that. We would have come up with a plan B, but we didn't have a plan B. Same as Sandstone. Like, every time we open, we've done our big ones. Everyone's like, when we did Sandstone, I remember taking some of my friends out there, and they didn't say it nastily. They were just going, what are you thinking here? You're putting 35 million into that out in a population of 30,000. It's not sustainable. And I said, well, we're not building it for the people of Bribie Island and Sandstone. Yes, we want them to come and enjoy it, but we're building this as a destinational venue so that when people will drive an hour to have lunch here, and they do quite regularly. Well, have a look at it. It's been 7 years now, and Sandstone's been booked out pretty much Saturday and Sunday for 7 years. Mm. You know, it's doing, some weeks it's doing, you know, 10 times what we expected it to do, even revenue. You know, then we did the concerts as well. When we did the concerts out, everyone's like, one road in, one road out, that won't work. We got offered our first concert we got offered was Elton John.
Really?
Now that, yeah, and we said no. And everyone's like, why would you say no to Elton John? I'll say no to Elton John because he's probably one of the best artists in the world that I would love to get and seen him multiple times in concert. He's an absolute gun. But if we stuff that up, if we don't do it well and we don't execute it properly, every man and his dog in Australia and probably overseas will find out about that in 24 hours. So we don't want that risk. We just said, no, let's just get it right first. So we did Beach Boys. We bought Beach Boys from America. And we knew that they wouldn't do the numbers Elton John would do, but that we knew they would go well. And we did them there, and they sold highest on the tour around Australia. And look, even though it, from the outside, from a customer point of view, it probably seemed seamless, it wasn't from the back of house. It was, we quickly identified what our problems were and how to fix our problems. And then we did another concert, and then we did Jimmy Barnes and or whatever. And we just kept going and going and going, and we've learned. And now it's like cookie cutter. We'll do 15,000 people there and not much stress, because we know we've got a great team. We know what we're doing. You know, it's just, yeah, getting it right is easy.
Can I ask you where you've had a project that's gone south? And because I'm interested in how you kind of get up and dust yourself off and move on. That's what I want to learn, I suppose.
Yeah, we've had projects. I won't say the exact projects, but we've had projects that we've had to slug through for 10 years. You know, you just kind of sit there going, I expect it to do X and it did Y. And you can't just, you know, you're just getting into the grind. You look at ways to improve it. Look at ways to, you know, just put your hands up. You get in there and you say, okay, how can I keep going on this? And in the end, we've turned businesses that when we open them up, you know, 13 years ago, 14 years ago into successful businesses, but it definitely wasn't overnight and we lost money for years. But in the end, just continue to grow, and that growth turned into a great business.
I've got a lot of questions. I'm mindful of time, but I am looking for, I hope you've got a bit of time when we have the podcast and Pinot event, because I'd like to kind of dig deep and ask a lot of business related questions and find out, you know, just the difference between people like you and Tony and people that kind of get in and do it and people that kind of stand on the sidelines. So Rob, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for your time, and we'll see you at the podcast and Pinot event at the Doonan.
No, that's great. No, thanks, John. Thanks for your time today, and good chatting to you.
Rob Kaminski was my guest on today's episode of Everyone Has a Story. If you enjoyed listening to today's podcast, then please feel free to share it about on your social media networks. Until next time, take care.